Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, this may be my most challenging set of critiques yet. I am discussing three shows that have recently opened in various parts of the city. One is this year's winner of the Pulitzer Prize, now selling out at a venue in Brooklyn. Another is the newest work at Playwrights Horizons, which my gut tells me is going to resonate with a lot of diehard theater goers. The final is an adaptation of a popular book by another Pulitzer winner, by the way, that has been turned into a musical. Now, various presidents have talked about taking down that wall or building a new one. Well, a theme that comes to my mind in these works is doing away with the fourth wall between stage and audience. But the key component the productions share is that they all deal with race in blistering, personal ways, which makes any criticism in these times a bit like walking barefoot on hot coals. So I shall put on my shoes and I shall try. Well, let's begin at the Polonsky Shakespeare Center, also called Theater for New Audience in Brooklyn, which has won the lottery in having scheduled Fairview, written by Jackie Sibley's Drury, before it won that Pulitzer. Now, this one actually began and is produced by Soho Rep. Later, it went to Berkeley Rep. Now, you may think Broadway must be next, but for reasons I am not allowed to fully reveal, the conceit here pretty much makes such a move virtually impossible. But let me say, I do not always agree with the Pulitzers. I truly hated, as did many, Annie Baker's The Flick, for example. But I like that they go outside the mainstream to find the most interesting and often daring work. Fairview is certainly that. The production runs almost 2 hours with no intermission, but it is broken up into mini acts. The first takes us inside the home of the African-American Frazier family. A father, mother, and daughter are preparing a dinner for the grandmother who seems to reside upstairs. The set may be beige, apparently for a purpose, but this is clearly the kind of plush home most people of any color aspire to. This part of the play looks like so many we've seen. Ah, another family gathering for a big occasion. It could almost be a sitcom with the Huxtables. But of course, things start to turn. "You didn't tell me Jasmine was coming," says the brother-in-law. So we are prepared for Jasmine, and she is a horrid hoot. The second part replays the entire act we have just seen, except instead of their dialogue, which they are mouthing, we are listening to a very loud and profane talk radio program, during which seemingly white announcers are discussing race. Then the action returns to the family dialogue. A few new characters arrive of different color and maybe gender, and all kinds of current day issues arise. Teen pregnancy, addiction, returning or not to college. I am thinking this is a satirical take on plays like August Osage County, albeit almost always done within white families. Now, I am forbidden to tell you about the last half hour of the play, but suffice to say that fourth wall is crashed as you've never quite seen it before. Now, I'm used to seeing a Tom Stoppard show and feeling intellectually inferior. With Fairview, I felt some of the same, if not intellectually removed, then emotionally excluded. It's beautifully performed. There is obviously some great wordsmanship. Why do you always have to be just like you always are? If you're sitting there talking, it means I'm standing here listening. It cleverly deals with how blacks and whites see each other or not, but ultimately felt like a punishing lecture. I'm not sure we all deserve to leave the theater feeling shamed. Now, if the circumstances on stage were reflective of how so many minorities have had to live, it might be more understandable. Still, I am glad I experienced Fairview, even if I didn't particularly like where I ended up sitting. Yes, that's my last clue. Meanwhile, over at Playwrights Horizons on 42nd Street, audiences are laughing and tearing up over a new work called A Strange Loop, referring to how we may take long and winding roads but end up back where we began. This one is rather amazingly conceived and written by one Michael R. Jackson, an emerging force, and it tells the tale of an overweight African-American gay man who is seemingly in the process of discovering who he is by writing a musical called, yep, A Strange Loop. Interesting, this one and Fairview share a choreographer, Raha Feather Kelly, even though they are not really traditional musicals. But there is movement. A Strange Loop features lots of raps. They'll say it's way too repetitious, so overly ambitious, which of course makes them suspicious. He has no patrons he can call on for backup plans to fall on. Well, those are two which I can repeat here. There is harsh profanity and explicit sexual language in A Strange Loop. But the main character named Usher, played by Larry Owens, is so likable and sympathetic that it is somehow tempered. Now, this show, too, is less than 2 hours with no intermission and also brings the audience, at least the one it is aimed for, into this struggling young man's head. The other cast members play his self-doubts or demons. Do you live in Queens? One is asked. No, I live in your imagination. There is a lot of stuff coming at you here, from Lion King references to Tyler Perry takedowns. When asked what the show he is writing about is about, Usher says he has to fight for his right to live in a world that chews up and spits out black queers. Well, this show within a show within a head is spitting a lot right back to the audience, but they appear to be taking it willingly and even happily. Now, my final one is Secret Life of Bees, playing on the Linda Gross stage of the Atlantic Theater Company. Now, it's based on the best-selling book by Sue Monk Kidd. This production is Plated in Gold, written by Lynn Nottage, who won the Pulitzer for Ruined several years back, and directed by Sam Gold, and the composer is Duncan Sheik of Spring Awakening fame. That said, the production has received mixed responses. Some think it's almost ready for Broadway. Others, like the New York Times, suggest that it is a flawed first draft. Some feel here is yet another story of blacks being rescued by a white person. Well, my audience, and I'm sure others, was yelling its hallelujahs like we were in church. My thoughts? Well, the music is truly beautiful. The cast is lovely. The storyline rather muddled. The direction unimpressive. It's a show more about sisterhood than race, and bravo for that. W.E.B. Du Bois, you may recall, coined the term double consciousness to describe the uniquely African-American experience of always looking at oneself through the eyes of others. Well, all of these shows I saw this past week bring that to mind. When Secret Life of Bees ended, I felt as if I were on the outside looking, but not quite invited in. Well, that may be exactly the point. And in some ways, the fourth wall has been shattered, or perhaps another one erected. And finally, still on the subject of shows that deal with the issue of race, To Kill a Mockingbird made some news this past week. It was announced that Jeff Daniels will be replaced by Ed Harris, an excellent choice, as Atticus Finch in the fall, and that a traveling version will also get underway with Richard Thomas in that iconic role. By the way, a lot of money is being spent on full-page ads for that show. But considering that virtually every seat is sold out for months, still, there is obviously cash aplenty.
Speaking of which, and before we talk about that, full-page ads, have you noticed the full-page ads for Elaine May?
Now?
In the last couple of weeks. Not now. But they were more than full. They were 2 pages.
Totally, and
for 2 or 3 weeks running, I thought, my goodness.
Yeah, and the show wasn't even still playing anymore. So they're not selling tickets. That was strictly to Tony voters. That was strictly about advertising her performance, and it worked. But that's all that was about.
But it was an extraordinary amount. I mean, I'm glad it worked. I guess what I'm quietly pointing out is that was an extraordinary amount of money.
Especially for a play that's not up anymore. To Kill a Mockingbird is still theoretically selling tickets.
Yeah, and if they're taking it on the road, that also adds some a little bit of interest to the whatever that ham-fisted situation was a few months back.
Right. Offering you are with a big star, by the way. And it's a good choice, Richard Thomas, because he's a well-known television commodity. And when shows go on the road and play regionally, what ticket buyers like most are TV. People they recognize from TV shows, you know.
Well, it helps tremendous. I mean, one of the reasons that we are the smallest NPR station in the nation was just because people recognize NPR. As it is, we carry, small fraction of the NPR shows that are available, but
you have that.
You have that, and it would just from a marketing standpoint make perfect sense. What I hope is that there is a resurgence, and I suspect that there might be, of people going to see shows that are on the road, because in fact they're not. You know, the whole design of On the Road was not
right.
Was meant to introduce people and mm-hmm. excite them and work out kinks, even though that's not the situation in this case, and then bring them to Broadway.
Well, that's right. And now these are in reverse. These are ones that have made it on Broadway and now going out into the country to see what was a big success on Broadway. So they're not theoretically working out kinks.
No, exactly. But it can, I guess, all I'm trying to say is it can work both ways, and it should work both ways. And it's always amazing how many people, and this isn't just, got nothing to do with just Broadway, but they just want to start at the top. Just want to start at the top.
Right.
And then you have something like Hadestown, which took how long to get to where it got?
5 years, basically, from the time she first heard the CD to, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they usually play at other theaters, just like Fairview started a Soho Rep. Who knew? You know, this little play, and suddenly then it goes to the Berkeley Rep, and now it's, I mean, odd places in a way, but Soho Rep gets full credit. They now have this to advertise. Hey, we're the place that gave you the Pulitzer Prize winner this year. You know, you never know where these, well, the edgy shows like Fairview, Strange Loop, they're not going to start on Broadway. They're probably not even going to end on Broadway. Whether they'd even want to, I don't know. But, you know, you forget these reps, these companies around the country, they're doing really audacious, good work.
And with any luck, they will be imported, so to speak. Well, have you seen I think there was just the announcement of, and of course I can't think of the name of it, but it was, there's a new import that seems fairly exciting, and it's opening in November.
From England or from somewhere?
Yeah, from England.
Which one is that? It's not Moulin Rouge. No, that's opening soon, actually, Moulin Rouge. I don't know what that is. There's always something from England.
Yeah.
You know, the hottest show ever in England, and then it comes here, and either it is or it isn't. The ones playing now are Ink. That comes from England, of course. Network, oddly, came from England, was first done there. I don't know what's still left. I don't think To Kill a Mockingbird's going to England. That's one that should go out and throughout the country. Think how many kids have read that book. And what a great way to introduce them to theater, you know, even though it'll be interesting to see when they take it on the road, if they cast adults as the kids like they do on Broadway. But I wonder when they go out on the road, if they might use local kids, you know, to play Scout and Jem. Wouldn't that be a good idea? Get a lot of attention. I don't know. I think that would be a very good idea because I don't know. Well, we'll see. But that's my prediction.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.